No matter where you are, it's Texas Standard Time on this Friday. I'm David Brown. Great to have you with us on this last day of the week, the first week of a new Texas legislative session dealing with a range of issues from the pandemic to education, a budget shortfall, police funding and police reform, redistricting, and a whole lot more. But the better part of this week has been consumed by issues of the practical sort. Things like picking a new Speaker of the House, voting remotely and how or whether to do so, how to manage a public that wants to be a part of this process, and more. But don't think there's not politics as usual at play here either. Witness some changes in the rules directly brought on by election outcomes in November. Allie Morris has been writing about this subject. She is an Austin Bureau correspondent for the Dallas Morning News. Allie, welcome to the Texas Standard.
Thanks for having me.
Back in November, Republicans lost their supermajority in the Senate. We should perhaps begin by explaining what that means, supermajority, and what that has brought about here in the Texas Senate this week.
Certainly. So, you know, as you mentioned, Democrats picked up a critical seat in the November election. They flipped a seat down in South Texas, which means that the numbers in the Senate shifted. And for the past few sessions, this gets a little bit wonky, but basically Republicans had 19 seats, which allowed them to bring any bill to the Senate floor without the support of any Democratic members. Mm-hmm. And basically what that meant is that, you know, they could bring some pretty contentious bills that maybe Democrats would oppose to the floor on, you know, issues like abortion rights, gun issues, voting rights. And it allowed them to advance some of their conservative policies despite Democratic opposition.
And but of course, they lost that seat back in November. So now what?
Right. So Dan Patrick, the lieutenant governor who presides over the Senate, has been saying for much of this year that he was wanting to change the rules this session to ensure that Republicans kept that grip on the flow of legislation coming to the chamber floor. You know, he's been saying that Democrats shouldn't be able to block bills since they are in the minority in this chamber. And so what we saw this week is that Republicans in the Senate did just that. They changed the rules. They lowered the threshold of votes needed to bring something up on the floor down to 18, which is the exact number of members that they have in the chamber.
Can Patrick do that unilaterally? Is that something that he can just change the rules on his own as lieutenant governor?
Yeah, well, it's a change that he really championed, and he presides over the Senate, but he wasn't actually voting on the change. It was the members in the chamber that did that, and it, as you would expect, it was a vote right along party lines with all 18 of the chamber's Republicans voting to change their rules. And this was over really, really fierce opposition from the Democrats who, you know, saying that they picked up a seat, the elections, you know, mean something. And a lot of them criticizing the process, saying that this could put them on a path toward what they called Washington, D.C. toxic relations that could reduce, you know, the need for coordination and communication among the two parties in the chamber.
How would you describe how the relationship is between Republicans and Democrats in, well, let's just say both chambers, as far as you can tell? I mean, the reputation of the Texas legislature is, believe it or not, supposed to be considered more bipartisan than it is in D.C., generally speaking.
You know, I think that we've seen changes over recent years. Last session, you know, we did see quite a bit of bipartisanship on bills to, you know, pump a lot more money into public education and to change property taxes to try to offer Texans some more relief. I think Democrats would point to those changes and say that was really a result of 2018 elections when Democrats flipped a lot of seats and I think gave Republicans quite a scare. You know, this time around, Democrats didn't get the blue wave that they were hoping for. You know, quite the opposite. Republicans really held their ground. And so I think it really remains to be seen this session what type of relationship they will have. Dan Patrick this week said, you know, Democrats shouldn't be able to block conservative bills that he wants to advance on issues like abortion, guns, and taxes. So you know, I think it remains to be seen what the priorities are and how that could influence bipartisanship this session.
Let's talk about what this rule change does in terms of the dynamics of those Republican-led bills, say, coming from the House to the Senate. The House, of course, there's a greater balance of power among Democrats and Republicans, right?
Yeah, it's much closer over in the House. And, you know, I think it's worth saying that not all bills, as Senator Brian Hughes pointed out, who was carrying this rule change in the Senate, looking back on last year, he said only a few dozen bills passed on strictly party lines in the Senate. You know, we do see some Democrats who side with Republicans on issues like abortion. You know, we do see some members flip. And of course, in the Texas Senate, I think, as senators pointed out this week, there's really a rural-urban divide, you know, where there's some pieces of legislation that, you know, split along those lines and not necessarily party lines. So, you know, the House is much closer, and perhaps that will lend itself to more collaboration to try to advance bills. But, you know, not everything is on party lines.
It's just the start of a marathon, and Allie Morris is covering it. She's an Austin Bureau correspondent for the Dallas Morning News, keeping an eye on the ledge this year. Allie, thanks again.
Thank you.